Hello, Pesto Posse. Welcome to Pesto Pete's Podcast. I'm your host, Pesto Pete, and I'm joined this evening with my co-host, my standby, my Ed McMahon.
Esteemed colleague.
You know, I don't think with podcasts they're colleagues. What would they be? Probably co-hosts.
Yeah.
Colleague sounds a little official, but.
Esteemed co-host. I feel official. With a moniker like Thirsty Mofo.
Yeah, that's pretty special.
It doesn't get any more official than that.
That's pretty official.
Thank you.
But we were talking prior to with a little show prep. This is a very special event.
Yes, very excited.
We have taken it to the point of episode 40.
Woohoo!
Doggy, episode 40. And we're kind of right online. I'd have to get a calendar out and kind of do the math, but I think we started about 40 months ago.
Wow.
And I said we're going to do one a month. And I think September may bring a couple extra episodes. I'm just getting a little teaser for our loyal listeners.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And we got really good feedback on the last episode from both Kevin from the Cape and the Bish.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
I didn't
see that. Yeah, Instagram.
The Bish's kids are into sons. They're kids to us, but they're in their 20s and late teens. But they're picking up bow hunting.
Nice.
Yeah, they went out and bought bows, and they're gonna start, you know, walking around the woods and trying to kill something.
Dude, 40 episodes ago, who would have thunk it?
Right. I mean, this is kind of bordering on General Hospital. Right? I mean, how many would it have been? 35 years or some 45 years? We got to probably look that up. But I think it's still going.
Days of our lives.
Is that still going?
As the world turns. You know,
all of them.
As the Pesto Pete podcast.
Turns.
As it turns.
Yep. So we're happy to be here. We're very excited.
And we're even happier you're listening.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah.
And I brought this up in one of the last episodes, but we have some listeners from all over the world.
Don't we know it?
Yeah.
Some of our loyal listeners know that we have a listener from Duschenberg in Germany.
Well, yeah, he may not be listening anymore after the episode.
We have Chip from India.
Chip. With no I. There's no I in that. Chip. You know that. Right?
Chip. Chip, thanks for listening.
Excuse me.
Don't forget Bill from Bangladesh.
Oh, Bill. Yeah, with no I. They all know. They don't have any eyes.
I met Bill when I needed some tech support. Thanks, Bill.
Where are you at, Bill? New Delhi. Is that Rhode Island, Bill? No, that would be New Delhi.
Ooh, hummingbird. Look at that. Ooh. Yeah, the hummingbird was
the only bird that can fly backwards.
Whew.
And hover.
That thing.
Ian, do you know? I think we had this on an episode.
Yeah, we did.
Where they do the topor thing. They actually hibernate every night because their heart rate is so strong that if they don't eat, they don't live. So they go into hibernation every night to turn it down a little notch. Ooh,
maybe
a breeze coming in.
Maybe that's Thirsty's problem. Maybe that's why Thirsty's gained some weight.
Well, I was going to do a little, not so much show prep, but like show looking. And I'm on the analytics, but unfortunately, for some reason, they've changed it.
Oh.
Yeah. It's a new, and I haven't looked at it. I mean, look at it, you know, every day.
Yeah, well, they did get some complaints out of Germany.
All right, so how many plays have we had in 40 episodes?
39 episodes.
39 episodes.
Wow, I would say average 10, that's 390. I'm going to say 430.
Dude, 2,946.
Wow.
I think the average... I mean, the first episode's over 200, and
who knew I was so popular?
You weren't. I was a solo episode.
Oh,
so you can be all popular you want. You weren't on episode one. And two of the most popular episodes are with one with Colin and one with Francesca.
Right.
Which is really kind of interesting.
How about the podcast with Six Pack with Jack? How'd that go?
Went really well. Yeah.
The analytics on that look
average. Average listenership. Glasses.
Oh, yeah.
Average listenership was 33 plays. You and I, the last episode, 39, was 33.
Wow.
Previous to that, with Bruce, when we did the minicast, 29, 40, 35, 53, 59, 49, 66.
We're picking up some momentum here.
We are. Wow. Think. Almost 3,000 episodes.
Hey, listens. Hey, Ranella.
Yeah. Watch your back.
Well, that's not what I was going to say.
I know.
But I can't say that again on the air.
No, you can. Is it to suck my dick, Rick?
No.
Okay.
It wasn't.
Okay, good. Well, I was hoping it wasn't that.
Yeah.
But
I wasn't going to say that.
No, it's all good. So this is a very exciting episode beyond the fact that it's episode 40, right?
What? Because we're cooking on the grill after
the grill? That's
we're making dinner afterwards?
It's always
exciting for Thirsty to eat after the podcast.
Yes, we know.
Because sometimes, you know, I eat and then I come up here and then I'm like lethargic. And
yeah, you're a little off your game. Yeah. No macaroni and cheese before a fight.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So.
Oh, good dog.
But tonight, I'm wearing a very special shirt.
Yes, you are.
From our
handsome shirt.
Our hog hunt. But they're not made right.
No,
I know. The sleeves are too tight or something. It's weird.
Not for me.
No, that's true. But broomstick arms.
Folks, the inside joke is these shirts have the skinniest sleeves, if you will, ever. And so, you know. Pete with the guns and everything, the big forearms, you know, he's all jacked up. So, yeah, so it's like he's ripping the thing out. And then for me, I slide it on and I'm like, wow, this is extremely comfortable.
I might have to get to a tailor, have these taken in.
That's not quite that severe, but... Don't kick the table,
for Christ's sake.
I'm sorry. It's... So these are from Osceola Outdoors.
Yeah, not outfit, right.
Yeah,
Outdoors. Outdoors with...
And the logo is cool as hell. It's a turkey skull, right?
Yeah, with his legs and the spurs and everything through it.
Exactly.
It's kind of funky.
We've talked about them. They're the folks that took us on the fabulous hog hunt. They're the folks that do the fabulous turkey hunts down in Central Florida.
Yeah, Mike Tussey.
Just north of Lake Okeechobee in the Everglades. And a cool spot.
Yeah,
I've shown
fun.
So many people those pictures of the inside of that house.
Oh, yeah.
They did it. It's a house, but...
It's when you go in, you think you're in a lodge.
Yeah,
it's a ranch house.
What a great design!
Oh my God, how many people? We probably sleep. So, I mean, the room Dave and I were. There were only four of us there with the guides. Michael slept in his camper.
Oh really?
Yeah. Bob slept in the back bedroom. You and Brian slept in one room that had
three sets of bunk beds.
Three sets of bunks.
So
Dave and I were in another room that had
two sets of bunks, right?
Well, no, two regular beds and either one or two sets of bunks.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, place. And then we were supposed to be with some duck hunters, but the ducks were non-existent. So I think was it Chris?
Yeah, Chris showed up. Bob's stepson.
No, I don't think he's related.
Oh, I thought he was.
They were coming in that day, but he was one of the guides, and he ended up taking them up the next day. Remember, the guys ended up showing up, and they shot some of those, whatever those local ducks are.
And Chris had the most unbelievable black lab you've ever seen.
Dog.
I mean, not only beautiful, but...
I meant beautiful, like, overall beautiful. Oh, like, personality.
The most disciplined, well-trained dog I've ever seen in my life.
Yep.
I mean, the dog walked towards us while we were eating, and he said to the dog... you're not allowed near the table. And the dog walked away and laid down.
Yeah, and it wasn't, it's like a puppy. It was
right.
Like a year old.
Yeah.
And he runs a private fishing boat for a guy. Like a big, I don't know what it is. He mentioned the name. Oh, in fact, oh Christ, I think I know the name. Well, I don't remember it now, but he's a professional captain. So he runs back and forth. Pretty cool lifestyle, you know, and get people out on Okeechobee to kill ducks. But yeah, that was a cool trip. So that's why I'm wearing that.
And gators.
Oh, and gators. Get it down to a Bosworth. Was it? Yeah. No, what Bosworth? Ehrlich.
No.
Brian
Urlacher.
Urlacher.
Yeah.
So I'm wearing this shirt for that reason. Now, look at my hat.
Your hat is a, let me describe it. It's a hunter's orange, bright orange.
Blaze orange.
Blaze orange, yes, with a logo on the front that I do recognize is
Ruger.
Distinctly Ruger. Yep. I mean, you don't have to tell me.
You had that quizzical look on your face. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Oh, no,
go ahead.
I always have that look on my face.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I should know by now.
I'm from New Hampshire. That is my...
Everything in life is a quiz.
That is my resting face, as they say. You know, some women have what they call bitch face.
You have resting
face. Resting bitch face. Yeah. I have the resting quizzical face. Okay. I don't know what the hell's going on. And
so you're looking at this, right?
Yep. Yep. I see the Ruger.
So you're wondering why I'm wearing this? I mean, we're not hunting. I got a blaze orange hat in my backyard. Right?
Well, I thought that somebody might be worried about you getting lost.
No.
No? Okay.
Well, can you read what that says right there?
It says 10, 12, 16. I don't have my glasses.
That's
but
right. 7:30, like... dressed weight, 33 inches. This is the hat I had on my head when I killed my moose.
Wow.
So I wrote 10, 12, 16.
Wow, that's coming up.
Well, that's why I wanted to wear the hat for good luck, because we have a moose hunt coming up in 3 weeks.
Great.
3 weeks from Saturday.
Nice segue.
Boom.
Talk to me, Goose.
So that's
talk to me, Moose.
Moose. Talk to me, Moose. So that, you know, without a producer and the fact that I actually work and I've got, you know, ADD, ADHD, and OCD.
And you have to try to keep Kirstie in line.
Yeah, right. You know the challenges I face every day?
You get your hands full.
I got my hands full.
Jeez.
I need another hand. Oh, that joke's funny. So anyway, so that's what I want. I kind of want to. That's a great joke. So I wanted to talk a little bit about that tonight and the whole Maine moose dynamic and how important it is to the state. How difficult it is for a non-resident, and all the ins and outs. And we got to make it not boring, because I just don't want facts. You know, we got to make it not boring.
No, but I want to throw this out there, and I mentioned this to you the other day that I think it was a few Sundays ago. I was watching television while I was folding laundry or something.
That sounds masculine. Go ahead.
Thirsty's very domestic.
No, weren't you smashing up asbestos in a dumpster?
I was.
With no mask.
I tell you, I was doing laundry.
Oh, boy.
I had no shirt on.
Oh,
I was in my undies, and if it was itchy, I scratched it. And I didn't care.
Wow.
Because I'm a
man's
rebel. Man.
You're
I'm a
rebel.
Man's man. So, anyway, all that visual aside...
I don't know if that visual ever go away.
there was an episode of I don't remember the I don't recall the name of the show, but it featured Bob Cabela from Cabela's, and he was talking about wildlife management and conservation, and he pretty much laid it down that you have to kill some animals to conserve them and to save them and save the species and control the herds and everything. And, you know, being a non-hunter other than, you know, a hog killer, you know, from birth.
Extraordinaire.
Yeah. I was like, wow, that's really interesting. And I'm thinking there's probably a lot of people that, you know, I know some people, Richard Needham, that, you know, anti-hunting and whatnot, but they don't get it. And then, you know, so Bob Cabela really laid it out. And they did a moose hunt in Minnesota. And they watched how the folks in Minnesota manage the moose population. And they've had dwindling herds and issues there. And then they went to Maine. And it was unbelievable how well Maine has done with managing their herds and everything. And then the show progressed, and they ended up going over to Zimbabwe for...
moose?
No, not moose. They were the Cape Buffalo.
Oof.
And so...
Black Death.
The problem is in Zimbabwe, you know, these people are hunting to eat, and that's it. I mean, that's their food source. So there's such a problem with poachers that they had to get the people to understand you don't have to poach food to get food. So they have these controlled hunts, and they were hunting for Cape Buffalo and whatnot, and then the tribal elder would be involved, and they bring it back, and then they'd cut it up. And it was like the whole village was, everybody got hunks of meat and went
big
back.
Hunks.
Yeah, and I mean a leg.
Right.
like God.
Oh, those things are enormous.
So these people were like really happy about the program here, and nobody's getting in trouble for poaching. Nobody's doing anything wrong.
Well, that's the management model of North America. And it makes a shitload of sense. And in 1900, there were fewer white-tailed deer and fewer elk on the landscape because of market hunting than there is today. And that doesn't happen by accident. That happens through management. You know, Dave Morrell Woody is in England over visiting Princess Yachts. He's coming back, I think, tomorrow. And he sent me a picture, and he said, "Hey, I saw some Sitka deer on a field." And I said, "Yeah, and those are owned by the guy who owns the field. That's the difference.
Oh.
It's a state managed wildlife management
estate.
Estate.
Yeah.
Estate.
Yeah.
So if you have an estate,
yep,
and you got deer on it, you own them. If you have land here in the United States and you have deer on it, I can't go on your land to hunt it, but you don't own those deer. Those deer fall under the category of wildlife management, and they fall into, unless they're, you know, you need to do that, take them out for crop reasons and things like that, predation, whatever they call it. You have no right to kill those out of season unless you have a permit to do so because of your livelihood. So that's the difference. You and I own elk in Utah. You know what I mean?
Hey, let's go.
We have a place. So that's the difference. But yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And it was nice that the Cabela's folks did that because it's really important to understand. And you know, who understands death? You know, Rich from Needham. And we're not picking on you, Rich. But John Q. Public says, "Oh, well, they suffer and they this and they this." Well, some do, some don't, you know. But you could go into the argument of, okay, what's worse, getting shot through the lungs with an arrow or starving to death?
Yeah.
Or getting
eaten to death by ticks.
Or getting eaten to death by ticks. Or drained.
Bloodlet.
Drained by ticks. Or you know, hit by a car. Does that solve the problem? And oh, by the way, people don't care about it until it affects them.
Right.
Until their ornamental shrubs have been eaten down to the roots.
This isn't a... Well, I don't want to trivialize it like that. It's like...
No, but it's true. Get rid of them. They're killing my root, you know.
Yeah.
Or my daughter hit a deer. We should kill them all. And yeah, that's a true story from someone my son worked with.
Oh, yeah.
Who was against hunting until her daughter hit a deer. And the woman came in the next day. "My daughter hit a deer. You guys need to kill them all." Oh, okay. Now it's different. Wow. And that's not to get political. And I'm not going to call it ignorance. It's just understanding the model.
Right.
And, you know, we're lucky. When you were a kid and you lived in New Hampshire, how many deer did you see a year?
Not that many.
Right.
You know, but you know, hey, I wasn't out.
No, but just running across the street. Right. I saw three today on my way home.
Right. Driving around at dusk is about the only time you see them. But other than that. And now I got him walking through my backyard all the time. And
that's my point.
And then Meg
says,
"You're
making my point."
Meg says, "Hey, get Pete down here."
They're eating my ornamental shrubs.
You know what's crazy? I don't know what's going on. Every year they eat my hostas like they're candy.
Yeah, they must.
And the rabbits do too. And then this year it's been so dry. We've had no rain, and they haven't touched them.
Well,
so I don't know what they're eating.
I haven't seen a lot of deer around here. Because it's dry. They're near water.
Oh.
You know, they're probably near water because it's been so dry. But anyway, so thank you for the input on Mr. Cabela. And yes, the moose population in Maine, estimated at 60 or 70,000 animals. Huge tick population up there. You know, they had one, they've been doing studies. They found a baby moose dead. It had 20 pounds of ticks on it. Oh. An 80-pound animal with 20 pounds of ticks.
Wow.
Drink just sucking the blood out of it, and that's a problem. And you know, to that point, have you seen a tick this year? See, they like moisture.
No, you know, we did that golf outing and down at Cape Cod, and Phil said, "Oh, you know, I always come out of here with three or four ticks on me." And now it's a known fact that ticks will not eat Viking blood. They hate
Truth.
It. They hate
Truth.
Viking blood, but
still
scared of it. I mean,
well, they're gonna get on you. They're just not gonna bite you.
Oh yeah, they get on me, and then they're like, I can't break the skin. I mean, this guy's a Viking.
He's so sweet.
But no, I mean, for whatever reason, I've really been lucky that the ticks don't like my blood type or something. I don't know what it is, or the fact that I'm
they like mine
Mexican hairless. But yeah, so are you. But but anyway, no ticks, no issues, no. No,
it's fingers crossed.
Errors, you know?
Fingers
but,
crossed.
Yeah, oh, that Lyme disease is so bad, as you know, and many of our friends know. And
we're in Lyme disease, like we're in the epicenter right here.
Yeah.
Reality.
Yeah.
So anyway, so we're talking about moose.
Yeah. Let's talk,
and the excitement of Dave and Denny's hunt. And well, they call it Dave and Denny's
before
hunt.
We get into that, we were so excited to talk about moose. We went to the store to buy Moosehead ale.
Yes.
But
came up dry.
Came up dry. There's only a few stores that have Moosehead around here, and it's one of my favorites.
It's a good beer. I was disappointed.
So, for me, since our host is Italian, and I always try to tie in something, some theme with the Italian thing, I went with Peroni.
That's a good choice.
Yeah.
And
it's
Italian
beer.
I went with Big Wave Golden Ale. Because
from Kona Brewing Company.
Kona Brewing Company.
Hawaii.
Yeah. And I'm just, I bought this.
I look Hawaiian.
Because you look like you could be in a dugout canoe paddling on a wave right now. So, well, that's what we got going on. So anyway.
Okay. So let's talk moose hunt.
So
coming up.
I want to go back. I got to go back a little bit.
All right.
So 2 or 3 years ago, we're up at Camp Matagammon, Windleblow. Camp Windleblow, because the wind always blows in Maine. On Indian land. We've talked about it a ton. So we were up there, and there were, I don't know, 13, 14, 15 of us in camp that day. It was a pretty well.
You hear that?
It's amazing how that microphone.
Sorry.
Thirsty mo. That's all right. Don't be sorry. It's not that. It's not, like, deafening. He's chewing a blue corn chip, like 6 feet away, and I can hear it.
And I have my hand. And I have my hand over my
mouth.
But yet the mic's picking it up like
it's amazing.
Just like,
we should do ASMR. So anyway, we're at camp one night, and I don't know how it came up, and everyone said, "So who's killed a moose?" And naturally, the chief and Anthony, being Penobscots, and they get one sustenance permit a year per household, so they've killed a bunch in their lifetime. You know, chief's daughter's killed, Sage has killed a couple, and she killed her first one at like 14.
Wow.
So we went around the room, blah 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 blah, and there's poor Woody Morrell.
Poor little Woody.
Head hung low.
Just a pound of bacon on the hoof. Had his tail between his legs.
Aww.
Gazing at his shoes.
Yeah, doesn't want to speak.
Somebody looks over and says, "Yo, shoegazer, you're up.
You're up." But it wasn't like a na-na-na-na-na moment, but it was
no,
like, we got to get this motherfucker, this guy a moose.
But
right?
It's like, wow, we didn't realize Woody was mooseless.
And for the record, one of the best hunters I know.
Yeah.
I mean, he's committed. He's a good shot.
And boatsman.
And a great boat.
Yachtsman.
Great boatsman.
Yeah.
So that was the big joke. Fast forward to June when they had the moose permit lottery in Maine. And for the record, there's two different lotteries. There's a resident lottery and there's a non-resident lottery. And if you go on and see who's won, I mean, you're talking about people from Texas, Hawaii, Washington State, Florida, because a lot of people look at it like, oh, I got to get this, on my list, and this is a big thing. And it's, it's relatively reasonable. It's $600 for the permit.
Bucket list.
Yeah, definitely bucket list, right? So Denny, who's a Maine resident, pulls a permit this year. Psyched. Denny's got one, right?
Now, so, how many moose has Denny shot?
You know what? I don't know the numbers. I'll find that out at camp, and I'll talk about that when I on our next episode. So they roughly, I think there's 3,500. Let's call it roughly 30. They change the number every year. 3,500 permits. 10% of those go to non-residents. So 350
okay.
to non-residents. So it's really tough to get a non-resident permit.
Sure. Yeah.
I got lucky when I got mine. So Dave, Woody, calls Denny to congratulate him. Hey, Denny, great news. You got the permit. And Denny goes, what are you talking about, Dave? It's your permit. And Dave goes, huh? And Denny says, Dave, you're my sub. So, when you apply for a permit, you have to have a sub permittee. So you assign a sub, actually assign two. Sub A, sub B. So if sub A can't do it, you've got sub B. Because they want 100% kill.
Yeah, so if they issue 3,500 permits for moose, they want 3,500 moose taken.
That's the number, right. And it's usually, it's not as good as it was back in the 80s when they reopened the season. But
what do you mean not as good? What wasn't as good?
The
kill
percentage,
ratio?
The percentage success rate.
Yeah,
back then it was 100%.
That was a misspoken kill ratio.
Well, they're walking down the dirt road because they never had anybody chase them. There's no wolves.
Yeah.
You know, there's no loud giant sounds and, you know, gunshots and shit.
Yeah.
So
Bigfoot.
And Bigfoot. And
they got Bigfoot up there.
No, they do. Yeah, of course. Oh, yeah. They got them everywhere. So.
But it's got to be a big mofo Bigfoot to take on a moose. Yeah, I mean, they take out deer with no problem.
He's got to do like some kind of jumping out of a tree thing. But so anyway, Dave's like, Denny, what are you talking about? And Denny says, oh, no, Dave, you're my sub. And Dave goes, I am. He goes, Dave, you're all of our subs. Because our goal is to get, and that's the brotherhood of the camp.
Yeah, that is the brotherhood.
So Dave goes, no, nice. Denny, I can't do that, blah, blah, blah. And Denny goes, no, Dave, you're doing it. You're the shooter. I'm not even bringing a rifle. So fast forward a couple weeks, and we're all excited. So we got a camp, and now, so we're in zone one. So if you look at a map of Maine, it's the farthest northwesternmost point in Maine. It's 11 hours from here.
Wow. And how close is it to Canada?
Our camp's like 7 miles from Canada.
Yeah, yeah.
From the border of Canada. Not the northernmost point of Canada, but
no,
from St. Pam Field.
Yeah, where it touches Canada. I mean, you're up in, you know, parts of Maine are higher northern Canada.
Well, higher. Well, you look at Canada, yeah, comes like, across over, you know, over Michigan and everything.
Right.
And then it goes up.
Yeah.
And then, so we're way up there. And the interesting part is 11 hours, but the last three are only 30 miles of dirt. So we got to go from Ashland, Maine, dirt road through a checkpoint because it's paper company land, and then to our camp that's on the Big Black River. I can't wait just to see it.
Oh, I can't wait. So, I hope you have your GoPro on.
Oh, I got everything.
Just keep running the video. I can't wait to see it. And just the fact that the last 30 miles of, you know, it doesn't show up on your GPS.
No.
And you're getting directions from the homeowner that says, you know, you cross over this bridge and you see this pond or lake,
yeah,
right?
Take a left.
Yeah. And then, you know, as soon as you could take a left, you know, wow.
So it's going to be really cool. So Dave resigned himself to the fact that it's his permit. So he went into like hyper mode. He got the chief, who knows everybody up there, got the camp that's on the Big Black. And so there's eight of us going up. So eight are going up, and then there's several guys going to stay back at Mattagammon, which is south of our normal camp. But when you go in the woods, you can't have eight guys in the woods.
Right.
I mean, it just doesn't make any sense.
Right.
And Dave wants to bow kill this moose.
Wow.
His goal is to bow kill it.
Wow.
So.
And he is a fine archer.
Yeah, he's a.
If my terminology is correct.
I will not take anything away from Dave, but if you can't hit a trash bag from 30 yards, because that's about the size of a moose's lungs, an inflated trash bag. But again, in a couple years ago, Chief called a moose into a guy, and the guy turned to him and said, should I take the shot? And by the time he did, the moose was, he didn't run away. He walked away, but you can't shoot him in the ass.
Right.
So he had no shot. I'm trying to keep track of everything I wanted to say. So Dave Denny, Chief, who's going to call for Dave, and Anthony, his brother, will go in the woods.
So four guys in the
four
woods.
Four guys in the woods. So there's not a lot of,
four,
because you don't want to be that guy that moves wrong and screws it up.
And you and three other guys hanging back.
Me, Gaudette, Bruce, and Kaiser.
Support staff.
We're support.
When he harvests his moose, you'll be in a position to help.
We've got
that out of the woods.
We've got these Garmin Rhinos. They're a two-way radio and GPS.
Wow!
So you can call someone, and it marks your location, and then the other one can locate to your location.
Wow!
Which is
how many miles are those? Good for 20? Like,
oh, I don't. I
15,
think
20 miles?
It's all. I think it's all satellite.
Yikes!
It's all based on the GPS.
Did you see that? The new iPhone 13 will have satellite texting capability.
Yeah, you know how much that costs?
Yeah, but I mean, but that's great news because that's just telling you that, you know, 5-7 years from now, your phones will be satellite capable.
Dude, I bought an eTrex, Garmin eTrex, as a little simple GPS.
Yeah.
When they finally made all the satellites accessible to the public,
mm-hmm.
I still have it. Thing works great. I mean, it's relatively rudimentary, but it could save your life.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know?
That's what I'm saying.
If you know how to use it. Yeah. So, yeah, if your phone does it, then you don't have... Garmin's probably scratching their heads. How are we going to get in front of this, you know?
No, Rich and I were talking about this exact thing that came out of the news story. We're sitting at work, and I said, you know, look at that. I said, that's perfect for guys like Pete that are up in these parts of Maine that there's no cell phone. And I said, you know, if you're in trouble, you need... You know, you need to get a hold of somebody.
Well, and we talked about that the last couple of years being up in Mattagammon. Because you're running roads and, you know, chasing birds or whatever. And you go into these roads and, you know, what if you had a heart attack or broke your leg or went off the road? It could be days before anyone would... We don't know where each other are, you know, ever. So anyway, so we're going up. So we're going to head up on Saturday morning, 24th, shooting up. Dave and I are probably going to buddy system, two trucks, and come in from Ashland.
I was going to ask you that, if you guys were riding together or not.
We're going to try to keep the trucks down to a minimum. But, so it's going to be Dave and I, and then I think three other trucks. And we're going to try to get in just to, you know, be mobile.
Five trucks instead of eight.
Exactly. So if he kills a moose, then the work starts. I mean, I've been there. The work starts. And he's got to get the moose to the butcher is farther east, and I mean, it's a lot of working parts. So I've got spreadsheets, I've got camp needs between come-alongs and chainsaw winches and all this other stuff, and then the food.
So is anybody bringing 4x4s?
Yeah, Chief will bring it. He'll bring a four-wheeler.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
he'll
that's
bring
what
a
I meant. Yeah.
Yeah, he'll bring... I mean, literally, dude, I had to buy a spare wheel and tire for my truck, because they said... When they grade these roads in the late fall, September, they grade them and it brings up a lot of shale because they're all logging roads and these trucks just fly. So if you get a piece of shale in between your tread, they don't go in and pop out. They go in and work their way in like a splinter.
So just for a clarification for the listeners, this is a spare to the spare, right? I mean, your truck has a spare underneath.
I have a spare.
And then you've got an additional spare, just like when the original cars, when the roads were terrible, you had two spare tires.
Right?
Yeah,
look at a Model T; they got the two wheels on the fenders, right?
Exactly, and that's but that's the kind of stuff you got to be mindful of. That hey, I'm dead in the water if I blow out a tire and I put my spare on, and then God forbid something catastrophic happens. And I pick up a piece of shale or hit a rock or something the wrong way.
Right.
You're done.
You're done.
And you are in the middle of nowhere.
Fucking nowhere.
And this is why you check in at the gate, because it's like, if you don't come out, you know, so
they want to know who's in there.
State police are getting a phone call that, hey, this dude came in here 7 days ago and he never came back.
Yeah, and it's interesting you say that, because we are going Ashland, then west. We could go, it's a quicker route to go into Canada and then come back through Canada, but it's two border crossings, which just takes up time.
Yeah.
It could be an hour each, you know.
And you and I talked about that. It's like border crossing with firearms and stuff. It just adds a whole nother layer of, you know, what are you doing? Why are you here? Blah, blah, blah. So, yes, it's a hell of a lot easier just to stay in the continental U.S. and just...
Yeah, don't deal with that shit. I mean, we're all bringing passports and vaccination sheets just in case we need to, you know, go over to St. Pamphile, because it's 3 hours to Ashland if we need napkins. It's, you know, 7 miles, probably 15
minutes.
Hour. It's probably an hour, but still to get to St. Pamphile and get whatever we need. So
yeah, well, plus if, God forbid, somebody had to go to a hospital, it's probably a closer hospital in Canada than there is in the U.S., so...
Yep.
That's a smart move to bring your passport.
Oh, yeah. That's definitely, it's already in my truck.
Yeah.
So but the interesting part, too, is these guys are out. Oh, so we're going up on the 24th. Bird season opens the 24th.
So this is September 24th.
September 24th, 3 weeks from Saturday.
Wow.
So
not that you're counting.
Dave's counting down every minute. Dave's permit starts Monday the 26th. Is that normal?
Yeah.
Dave's permit starts the 26th. So we're driving up the 24th. That's opening day of bird season. So we've got 3 hours of dirt road to bird hunt on the way to camp.
Nice.
And we've heard that there's...
Maybe have some tasty pheasant.
Partridge.
Yeah. One man's...
little pheasant.
One man's partridge is another man's pheasant.
But, you know, and I think it's Judy is the camp owner, and she said, oh, the bird population has just been great the last few years. So even when, like, come Monday morning when those guys go out to start scouting, and the fact that it's early season, it's the first week of the season, and when they issue zone permits, it's by week. So zone, and I may be wrong about this, but zone one is week one. Now, I think there's other zones that open that same week, but they're not adjacent to it. So zone one, week one, and that means the moose will be responsive to call.
Right, because they haven't heard any gunshots. There's been no noise in the woods.
And it's the rut. And it's the rut.
We all know what the rut is.
We do. So you know, that's the reason Dave's bringing his bow. Because, you know, Chief could, that one he missed, that guy missed a couple of years ago. Guy from, he's from Cuba or something.
He didn't miss. He just chose,
he missed the opportunity. Yes. So, yeah. 7 yards.
Huh.
7 yards. And it was a respectable moose. We have it on video. Chief was videotaping, thinking he was going to smash it, but
wow.
He didn't. And he missed out. See, what happens is the tribe has so many extra permits that they sell permits with a guide, a Penobscot guide, and that money goes right back to the tribe.
Great.
It's incredible. So,
yeah.
So anyway, this guy, he's not coming up this year. He's come up 4 or 5 years, and that was the last time he did, and he whiffed. But
that's a bummer.
But Dave also is bringing his dad. Now, this is another level of coolness. The whole thing is cool. There's nothing uncool about it.
This is Steve McQueen cool.
Ain't
James Dean cool.
James Dean cool.
For all you
Clint Eastwood cool.
All you older listeners.
Clint Eastwood cool.
Oh, definitely Clint Eastwood cool.
Who's cool now?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know who's a cool cat.
I don't know either. So
Samuel L. Jackson.
No, he's not cool. He doesn't talk nice about the police.
Oh.
So anyway, 2 weeks ago, Dave and I went to my club and sighted in his dad's 300 Savage.
Mm.
So if push comes to shove, he's going to forego the bow and take one down with the 300 Savage, which isn't certainly as intimate. I mean, I shot my moose at like 25 yards, I think. It was so thick. I don't know. I mean, it was an easy, wrong word.
Right.
It wasn't an easy shot. It was a clear shot.
Yeah.
It wasn't like he was standing in bushes and I shot through bushes, but 25, maybe 30 yards with a high power rifle.
Now his dad has passed.
Yeah. Correct? Yeah. Roger passed away a couple of years ago.
Yeah. So that makes it even more special.
That's what I'm talking about.
Like when I caught that first trout on that 50, 60, 70 year old fishing lure I took right out of my grandfather's tackle box, and
right.
I caught that. And, you know, you're looking at me like, okay, it's a trout. And I'm like, no, it's not just a trout. It's a trout I just caught that my grandfather caught trout with.
When you retire that lure.
Yeah.
God forbid you lose it.
No, I'm going to retire it. I'm with you. Because, you know, I'm going to, I'm redoing the garage. So I'm going to do something with that.
Oh, maybe with the motor too?
Yeah. Okay. Definitely. That's going on the wall.
So if
you come across an old canoe up in Maine that is rotten or whatever, take the chainsaw and cut the back end of it, cut the stern off, and I'm going to mount the.
You know,
if I can't find one, you know, Brian Thomas said he'd get me one because he knows a lot of people up there. But if I can't, I'm gonna go into some magazines and look and build one.
Yeah, we could do that. It's not like you got to go float around in it.
No. I'm just going to build a 2 or 3 foot with section of stern with a flat transom. Yeah.
Yeah, with a flat back.
Yeah, exactly.
We could do that.
Yeah.
So
cool.
So I said to Dave, "Oh, canoe." So the cool thing that the Indians do.
No. We were talking about shooting with the
Dave's yes, but father, you said canoe.
Savage.
Well, you said canoe. So we have a list of things to bring in the half canoe.
Yeah.
I told you about the
yes,
half canoe.
Yes, you did, yeah.
So the half, for the listeners, the half canoe is a canoe that's cut in half. And you put the moose.
Is that why they call it
a half canoe?
Oh, my goodness.
And the moose goes in the half a canoe, and then you hook the front pointy part behind a four-wheeler.
What half does the moose go in?
The front half. Or is it the back half? So, yeah, then it becomes like a wedge going through the woods.
Right.
So, I mean, when I killed my moose and we got him out, oh, it's so much work. And it was dark.
Yeah.
And it It was tough.
I mean, you guys, I remember you telling us that you had to cut trees down to pull it out with the four-wheeler.
We were cutting trees down because the state of Maine would rather have you cut trees down than lose an ounce of meat. And we were probably cutting, the biggest ones we cut around, probably a foot around.
Wow.
I mean, pretty good sized tree.
Yeah.
So we've got all the chainsaws, we get everything. Oh, it's amazing because, again, if you don't have it.
Well, speaking of chainsaws, when I leave here tonight, can't forget to load up my steel Mac Daddy 5000 chainsaw that you sharpened the blade for. Because Thirsty accidentally nicked a rock, being Mr. Nice Guy, hooking up his neighbor. But that's another story.
That's another story.
That's for another
podcast. So we'll make sure you get that. But
that podcast is called Thirsty's Woes.
Woes. Neighborhood Woes. So the excitement is palpable. I mean,
I've been cooking. You're giddy.
Well, I've been cooking. I cooked a Brunswick stew. It's a stew that's Brunswick, Georgia. It's basically a clean out the freezer stew. So I had some wild turkey legs and thighs and necks and some necks from your turkeys, and I simmered those for 7 hours.
Ugh.
And the meat just came off the bone.
You did that with a little bit of was it Coca-Cola or Dr. Pepper?
No, that was on the pork.
Yeah.
So I did the turkey. Got all the bones out of it. The stock was, dude, wow. I was dipping a spoon in it and drinking it. All I did was I simmered it for 7 hours with onions and carrots.
Wow.
And it was amazing. Because I feel so bad when you kill a turkey and you throw so much of it away. But you gotta put time in, right? You gotta simmer it. So I gave it a shot.
So I gave you all the necks.
Oh, they were great. I love neck meat anyway. So then I took some of that pork we killed. And I put that, and I soaked it overnight in Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, that's Dr. Pepper. Yeah, yeah.
And then I simmered that.
And you do that to break it down.
Yeah, it breaks down some of the toughness, and those things are tough.
Yeah.
But I simmered it for
that one. I shot thought she was tough until that bullet went in her left ear and came out her right shoulder.
Yeah, that was.
How are you doing there, tough guy?
Yeah. Now, how tough do you feel now?
Don't show me those tusks.
Oh, bup, no tusks.
Not on the women, not on the females. Yeah, but still. But, you know, angry. I mean,
angry. Oh. Well, I don't know whose pig I was cooking, whether it was mine, yours, or Dave's.
Could have been Dave's with the big tusks.
Oh, and that thing was a toughie. So anyway, I simmered that stuff for 6 or 7 hours and then drained it off and shredded the meat down. So I've got this Brunswick stew, and I've got moose meat in it from Alaska, Brian's moose from Alaska. I've got venison, wild pig, wild turkey, and partridge. I had 6 partridges that I had the bodies of, the bone and breast.
Yeah.
I wrapped it with bacon and baked it. Then I shredded that off and put it in the Brunswick stew. So the Brunswick stew, you put it, and then I did it in the turkey broth.
Oh, wow.
With a little chicken broth.
Wow.
Then I did veggies.
Thirsty. If you hear some munching noise, it's Thirsty getting after these blue corn chips because Pete's making them hungry.
Dude, diced tomato, fire roasted tomatoes, little tomato paste, seasonings, and I simmered that for 3 hours. Wow. 4 gallons. Wow. So that's going to be dinner one night. And then we're putting together dinner.
So you're basically making these meals up, like we talked about. You're freezing them. Correct? And then you bring them frozen in a Ziploc bag, and then all you're doing is reheating them.
Re-thermin.
So tell me again some of the key items you're bringing on this trip, just for cooking, for safety, for...
Yeah, so key items for cooking. So 20-gallon tank.
The pot I found at the...
The pot you found,
well,
which is working out great. So a couple of big pots.
And, that was one of the...
That was a good find.
Somebody, beautiful, thick aluminum pot that somebody left out by the street for just for free down in Cape Cod. And we're driving by and, you know, being the scavengers we are, couple of seagulls, we see this Makita drill toolbox. Pete's like, oh, I'm going to stop and grab the drill. So he grabs that and I'm like, oh, I'm going to grab the pot. So, you know, always a perfect pot for doing steamers in or something like that. So I grabbed that. And we get back to the house, and the drill was a complete bust.
Yeah, I've gone down that road so many times. And the one time I go down not alone, it's a perfect pot there.
But my most perfect score recently was a propane burner.
Well, that's, yeah, that's going to camp.
Yeah, Pete's taking it to camp.
So talking about essential things for the cooking. So I've got a 20-gallon propane tank. I've got a splitter, which is the, it's a splitter that goes from the tank to two hoses that's going to be attached to my propane burner, which is a stand,
yep,
and your propane burner that we refurbished with the right hose and everything.
Yep.
So
I can high heat paint.
A little high heat paint.
Brandy new.
You made it. Yeah, you
went side of the road.
Yeah, you went a little overboard, but that's good.
Yeah.
So bringing that up in a pot for like Brunswick stew, a big old frying pan that Dave's got for like anything else. And we're bringing up a Blackstone grill, like for breakfast, for eggs. And
because the whole griddle program.
My
is
plan is
phenomenal.
So I'm probably going to stay in a tent because the camp sleeps six comfortably.
And there's eight guys.
Eight guys. So I've got my cot. We get the tent.
Temperature should be perfect.
You know what?
Third week of September in Maine.
Dude, the snore factor.
50s at night.
Yeah, 40s maybe.
Yeah.
But still.
Well, when you're at Johnny's camp and you slept outside, you set up a cot in your truck and then just threw everything over you. What was the temperature that night?
40s.
Yeah, I was going to say, that was low 40s.
That was late October.
Yeah, that was low 40s. But you learned your lesson, though, because you didn't put anything under you.
Right.
And the cold air literally was coming
came
up
through my cot.
Through the cot.
I didn't have my pad.
Yeah, so you either need a pad or a sleeping bag.
Well, I've got my pad.
That's not open, just a complete sleeping bag, and then on top of that,
right,
then a sleeping bag on top of you.
I've got a rollout pad.
Yeah.
That I'll bring, and then I brought my fleece blanket from the man cave to go over that.
No skeeters.
And then long johns and a long john shirt.
Oh yeah.
And under a sleeping bag, and the snore factor, dude.
Oh, I know. Yeah. Well, you know, every time we go to Johnny's camp up in northern New Hampshire, it's the same thing. And that's why Neil and I, no matter what, we're out on the porch. Because
right,
because,
you got one guy snoring or six guys snoring.
Yeah.
Take your pick.
So out on the porch, it's all good. And
yeah, it's nice out there, too. Fresh air.
Yeah.
So that's the plan, is to do that. And then my goal, and for moose hunting, you don't want to get up too early. It's not like you get in a tree stand and wait and the light comes up. They're going out. They're calling. So they're not going to go out before first light. So my plan is to get up early and cook them all a nice breakfast, you know, hash browns and bacon and eggs, and fill up
the
belly.
What the Italian guy's there for.
And Jimmy Jimmy Kaiser's the man. He's our camp cook in general. And, we're putting it together to both of us. And the key is, when Dave kills, the next day or the day after that, after everything's settled, we're heading back to Matagammon to finish out the week at bird camp.
Nice.
So, yeah, it's going to be a nice full week. But we have to have enough food to get down there, too. Although, we can get to Sherman and Patton. And
heading back down to Matagammon.
Matagammon.
You will be able to find some stores down there that you can get some food at. But, that would be all good.
It's all good.
So, yeah, we talked about this list of, hey, what do you bring on a trip like this? You know, the extra spare is what was recommended. And then you and I talked about, certain tools, like a floor jack to be able to jack your truck up and change a tire.
And a piece of plywood under that.
Yeah.
Right? Because you don't want it.
It's muddy or
rocky.
And a first aid kit.
Got it.
You don't think about that. Stuff in
You can't even imagine the level, how far down in levels you have to go, like a compressor. Because do you want to be sitting there with a hand pump pumping up a tire if fix a flat,
right,
just in case the two spares shit the bed?
We talked about that, all kinds of stuff that plugs into your cigarette lighter. Your particular truck has the 110 outlet has an inverter built into it, so I mean, that's cool. So, yeah, you can bring some power tools and stuff that plug in if you needed any of that. So, yeah, it's really
it's
really
involved.
And, I mean, it's I can't even fathom, how much weight that you're carrying in your truck. I mean, you've got the 128-quart cooler, another big cooler.
Right. So two gas cans that won't be filled until I get to Ashland, but I'm still carrying ten extra gallons of fuel. That's 80 pounds.
Yeah, that's 8 pounds a gallon.
Across,
80 pounds, and then you got the 20-pound propane tank, and
it's a lot, but it's painfully exciting.
Estopito will be getting about 7 miles per gallon.
But
on
you
truck,
and I, but, you and I are built for this, right? I mean, we go to Johnny's camp, and you get enough shit for a month.
Oh yeah.
You know, I'm packing plastic bins with paper towels and toilet paper and baby wipes and everything else. Yeah. But I'm only doing it, and I've kind of monopolized everything, but I'm only doing it because I want to make sure we have it.
Right.
Because, it's not everyone's as committed.
Yeah, it's the have and not need.
Correct. And if we go up there and someone says, oh, I was supposed to bring toilet paper? And then you're like, well, now what do we do?
Right. Because how many times did that happen to us up at Johnny's camp, all the wing nuts? Oh, you're supposed to bring this. I don't rely on anybody. Like, I'm.
That's the way I look at it. So it was very interesting because I sent out the spreadsheet, and it was my spreadsheet. So I had everything that I had.
Right.
So I did a spreadsheet with all the items, and then Peter, Dave, Aunt, Chief, Jimmy, Bruce, Godette. And mine was all full. But when it came to lighter, a lighter, I had everybody bring a lighter.
Yeah.
Right? So at one point I said, hey, I know Donnie, who's not going up to camp, his daughter's actually finishing the Appalachian Trail next Thursday. She's 140 miles away.
Wow.
From Katahdin right now.
Wow.
Yeah, very interesting.
Started
very exciting.
Down in, where's it start? Georgia?
Yeah. She's been at it for almost three months. Yeah, her trail name is Bug. I think we talked about that.
No, it's all...
Bug. So,
dude, I would remember Bug.
So she's finishing at Katahdin, hopefully next Thursday, with her whole crew. She met some people, and they're going together. Yeah, it's amazing. So anyway,
sorry about that pesky airplane noise.
Yeah, what's that?
We're not near a we're near an abandoned airstrip that used to be an active county airport, but we still ride our bikes over there. But the airstrip's still there and the airstrip's still intact. So these little planes they tell me that they still can use that.
That's an emergency
landing.
It's
part of their plotting of their trip as an emergency landing strip. So, so we get a lot of that coming over here, which is fine. Kind of cool.
So I reached out and said, hey, I understand that. I know that when I killed my moose, Kaiser was in with Joe Codd. Joe Codd killed a friggin' monster on a potato field. Donnie was with this guy, Ohio Mike. And Ohio Mike is an outfitter in Ohio.
Oh.
And makes sense, right?
I figure. They call him.
And so.
With Michigan Mike is so, from Ohio.
So Donnie had Ohio Mike as his sub.
Okay.
So when Donnie pulled, Ohio Mike would get the moose, and Donnie would get a reciprocal trip to Ohio to kill a big buck.
Oh, nice.
So. I killed mine on October 12th. Our season opened on the 10th.
This is for moose or deer?
Moose. Yeah. So Joe Codd, he had a guide, killed a behemoth Monday morning. I won't go into the details, but Tuesday, we get a very cryptic text from Donnie. Ohio Mike scored.
Mm.
And then Wednesday, I killed my moose. Point is, Donnie and Ohio Mike had what they call a chainsaw winch. Have you ever seen one?
Yes. Yeah.
So they use that to pull the moose out. So I sent to the crew, I understand Donnie has a chainsaw winch. Can we get it from him? And Denny is Donnie's brother. And Chief goes, I have one. And this goes back to my spreadsheet. He goes, I have one. I'll bring that and my lighter.
That's all the chief needs.
Chief, just that's all you need, bro.
Yeah.
That's all you need.
And your Penobscot moose call.
that his father carves.
Yeah.
And wow. He carved one for Dave. So Chief will be using the one Dave that will harvest Dave's moose. I have mine that Brian used when they got me. Butch made it. Their dad's Butch.
So cool. The
It's so cool.
The ceremonial Native American traditions.
Okay.
And to see them, I can only imagine. I mean, you and I have talked about it, and it makes you almost cry. That it's like it's so overwhelming. Like, you know, all of us have seen this stuff on TV, but
no,
it's
when not you're like in when person. You're in
person, it's got to be unbelievable.
It is. So yeah, speaking of the spiritual part of it, so it's very spiritual. No, Penobscots have been killing moose for however millennia, right? Who knows how long? Yeah. I don't know. So when Brian and Jack went to Alaska, I think it was 4 years ago. Because they went 4 years ago, and they went a year ago, and they're going a year from now, 2 years from now. Anyway, whenever it was, Chief went with them, and he went limitedly. They were going for a month. He went for 2 weeks. And when, I don't remember who killed the first moose. I think it was Jack. When he killed, and I talked about this on the podcast, when he shot a giant Alaskan moose, which is a larger subspecies.
Hmm.
Like Brian said, when we butcher a Maine moose and pull off a hindquarter, an Alaskan moose's hindquarter is twice the size.
Wow.
Just unfathomable, right? So I'll tell the full story again someday, but Jack shoots a really big bull coming toward Brian with a longbow at 27 yards, which is a stretch, with a cedar arrow and a longbow, which has no...
Right. No velocity.
No, and no modern technology to speak of, right? So Chief breaks out the sweetgrass, and he ends up doing a ceremony over the moose with the sweetgrass.
Wow.
So... It's and you can't tape it. It's like you can't videotape. You can't. No, this is you. To that point, one of the camp members, Rocco, who was one of the original camp members up at Mattagammon, passed away.
A few years ago, right? Two or three years ago.
No, it's, you know what? I'm trying to think of how long ago it was. 6 years ago.
Oh wow, it's been that long.
Yeah.
Wow.
So we were up at camp on. You know, that fall after he passed away, and Chief's dad, Butch, came down with a couple of his buddies. One of his buddies is a paddler. He paddled like 3,000 miles.
Wow.
Oh, just, he's a little dude. Paddled 3,000 miles, like through the St. Lawrence Seaway, all the way.
Lewis and Clark.
Just, and he's very open to talk about it. I think his name's Stumpy or something. So, anyway, Butch comes into the camp, and the camp's a... You know, it's like a house, kind of, but, you know, really, it's very comfortable. I mean, it's great. It's beautiful in its own way. So Butch comes in with his buddies. It's a Sunday. There's no hunting day. So it's a camp cleanup day. It's cutting firewood. It's a work day, right?
Right.
So we do our work, and Butch comes in about 1 o'clock with the guys, and he says, you know, we're ready for the ceremony. He goes, there's no alcohol. So if you've got a beer, put it down. And we went out from camp down to the lake, down to Mattagammon, and stood on this, it's a rocky shale kind of covered area. It's not like sitting, you know, like in the grass over there, right?
Right.
So he breaks out the incense and a drum and eagle feathers, which only Native Americans can own.
Yeah,
wow. Like you own an eagle feather,
you can only have it in your possession.
Right.
Only Native Americans can have
correct
eagle feathers in their possession.
So we're standing in a big circle, and Butch starts. And I tell you, talk about making your knees weak.
Oh, I can imagine. Just so moving, so emotional.
Emotional.
Wow.
And the, you know, I'm not going to try to duplicate what he was doing, but the, hey, and they're all words.
Well, right? You know, all due respect to the rhythmic chanting. Yeah,
Yeah, it's just unbelievable.
And it all has meaning. And he's an elder, right? So he knows what it means. And I'm standing there feeling myself like ready to faint. It's so powerful.
Yeah, and you're feeling like such a small, you know, ant in this universe when the Native Americans are bringing in the spirit of the universe right on top of you, and you're like, wow.
And then they're welcoming Rocco to their universe.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm not going to, anytime we see an eagle, a bald eagle, I'll say, hey, I was in Millis, saw a bald eagle. Rocco was flying over me. We all do that.
Yeah.
An eagle flew over us while that ceremony was going on.
Wow. No way. Yeah. It's unbelievable.
Flew right over, circled.
Yeah.
Amazing. Amazing. So
let's have a sip to that.
Yeah,
one.
Right? A little clink. And so that's what I got looking. That's what I got to look forward to in the next 3 weeks, dude.
Yeah.
I can't wait. I can't wait to be part of it. I can't wait for Dave to be successful. I can't wait to feed my boys and make sure when they get back to camp, they get a full gullet and a good night's sleep. And
I just love the prepping, you know, everything we were talking about, the first aid kit, the this, the that. It's just. Just thinking through so many what if scenarios that you and I mean you love it too, and just to, you know, the fact that you invite my opinion on that and just say, hey, you know, if this was you, what would you bring? Yeah. And then I came up with a couple of things that you hadn't thought of. Yep. and you know, so
they're on the list.
It's pretty cool. So I mean, God, you hate it when it takes you 3 weeks to unpack your truck.
Right, yeah, that's not the fun part, but you know what? When someone says, "Hey, do you have Italian bread?" and I go,
"Do you have any Grey Poupon?"
As a matter of fact, I do. You know, that's the fun part, and and to bring, you know, to not make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, but to make Brunswick stew or pork ribs or shepherd's pie or just good old fashioned comfort food.
Yeah, the food's a whole other gamut of that whole thing. But I'm just thinking, you know,
no,
the
I get
whole
you.
Self
reliance.
Exactly. The whole self reliance that, you know, if this happens, you know, God forbid, the worst thing happens. You know, you watch these shows where
Alone.
not even that. Oh. You know, you watch these competitions where these people go and they'll drive these four-wheel drive vehicles, and it's like a distance competition, and they got to get to that. And my God, you know, they MacGyver everything, and they figure out, you know, I saw that guy take the Defender 90, and he caught a stump with the steering rod.
Oh, yeah.
So, it's like, he's out of commission. His two front tires are...
Going the opposite direction,
So what did he do? He wrapped his winch around a stump, or tree, and came back around and hooked the winch to it, and then lightly went doot 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 and straightened his steering, his tie rod with the winch, and was able to finish the thing. I mean, it's that, I love that ingenuity. And
I do too.
And you know, it's like just primitive engineering, but it's just having the ingenuity and know-how to
survival, to
self sufficient, and reliant, self reliant.
And that's what we're looking forward to, and. You know, and hanging out at camp, I'm gonna bring a shade structure so we can hang out under that. There's another moose crew in the camp when we are in a different cabin, so it'll be fun to, like, you know, rub elbows with some other guys.
They're hunting the exact same time you guys are.
That's the zone. So, yeah, we're in zone one.
So you're all in the same zone, and you got to kind of figure that out and not jump off each other.
Oh, dude, it's giant. Another jet.
Is that Mr. Kraft? Right there. Wow.
Could be Mr. Kraft.
Yeah, that's a cool jet with the two engines on the back tail fin.
Yeah, that thing doesn't hurt for fucking power.
It's not going very fast, though.
Not yet.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think
he's only going to. He's only going to Hanscom. Yeah. The unknown, the leaving here at 3 in the morning, you know, the getting up there at, if I leave here at 3, I'm going to get there around 2 in the afternoon. Yeah. To run the dirt road and have a 410 over my lap waiting for a bird to run out. It's all good. It's all good. It's exciting as Christ.
Dad, your life is, going back to work is really going to suck after these. Yeah. That's a letdown, you know, you get so excited. You know, when I used to do those fishing trips in Costa Rica and Walker's Cay in the Bahamas, and some of those great fishing trips I took with Vince and the guys out of Miami, you know, just, you're so psyched for so long. And then, when you go back to work, it's like, I want to shoot myself in the head.
Someone said to me the other day, something to look forward to. Yeah, someone said the other day, oh, my vacation, it was great. But I go, you know what? If you didn't have to come back, the vacation wouldn't be anything.
Right.
Right? So you gotta balance it against something. But no, it's true. Oh, dude. Like Wednesday on a week-long trip, you know, out hunting and fishing, whatever, you're like, ah, looking forward to seeing my dog and my wife and kids, and we can't wait to get back. And then when you're getting on the plane, you're like, fuck, I wish I was staying. We're so complicated. It's unbelievable.
Well, the Costa Rica trip was a little bit diminished by the Montezuma's revenge.
Yeah, well, yeah, I don't have to worry about that in Maine. So, dude, I got to show you a picture. All right, okay. So Moose Camp, it's coming up. Can't wait.
Check in Instagram.
Keep an eye out. I'm kind of hoping to do a little mini cast from the truck on the way up. I'm hoping to do a podcast at the camp.
Wow. If you can get anybody fueled by
bourbon after Dave kills a moose. So keep an ear out.
Tin cup, bullet. Ooh, what are we thinking? What are you thinking?
No,
there?
Good stuff.
Well, that is good stuff.
Ocean.
Oh, wow.
And we didn't talk about our podcast pot.
Well, you know.
You know, we're going to let them go.
Yeah, they've been disappointing.
I'm going to talk about one, though. Can I talk about one?
Yeah.
Quiet Cat.
Yeah, of course.
Quietkat. Electric bikes. And the reason I brought that up.
Yeah.
Because my buddy from Quiet Cat,
wow,
arrowed a pronghorn today in Colorado.
Wow, that's super cool.
How cool is Connor looking in that?
I am looking at a picture of a pronghorn that's huge, and he looks like he may have bled a little bit. Like a perfect shot right in the lungs.
Connor, so this is it's I'm going to show you. I'll go back in the text trail.
You'll probably post that on your Instagram account.
Well, I got to ask him if I can. Oh, okay. Yeah, it's kind of a...
Yeah,
here's the initial picture. So obviously he sees him at a distance.
Oh wow, it's really far away.
Yeah, so and he stalks it.
That is some really cool terrain. Where is that?
Colorado.
Oh wow, look at this.
Look at the sunrise.
Oh, a sunrise.
Yeah,
oh,
it's morning.
It's super dark blue and yellow.
That's a great buck.
Yeah. Wow. That's
so
cool.
So Connor is the twins, Kurt and Kevin's nephew.
Oh, okay. I didn't get that connection, but
they live in Hopkinton where I hunt.
Yeah.
And Connor wanted to get into hunting back when he was like 17.
So he says, Uncle Pete?
No, Uncle Brian.
Uncle Brian, I want to learn how to hunt.
So Uncle Brian took him out, and the first day the kid ever went hunting, he killed a turkey. And this was
first
Connor's...
time I ever went hunting. I killed a sloppy hog.
No, that was so exciting. Dude, that was so exciting.
I did not know that those rounds could do so much damage.
Jesus.
And he's pretty far away.
Well, remember what the one the night before did to that root?
Oh. Well, I shot a tree root. You would have thought somebody threw a stick of dynamite on
it. That pig's probably still running.
I think I blew his toenails off.
Oh, my. You might have. Oh, he's not cloven hooved anymore.
I literally was shaking so badly that when I pulled the trigger. I hit right under him between his legs and right below his belly, about 6 to 8 inches below his, probably a foot below his belly. It just blew up the ground and the tree root right underneath him. And he didn't know what happened.
Feet don't fail me now.
I've never seen a hog move so fast.
Oh my God, he got out of there. Well, that was a fun dynamic, and that was a really good learning lesson. But the next day was funny as shit. When you're in your stand, and I'm out in my stand, and you're like, oh, I got six pigs under the feeder. I'm shaking like a leaf. I'm like, I text you back, I go, so am I. I was shaking for you. I was shaking for you. Because that's, you know what? It's,
you know mentally how weird it is? Because, you know, you're killing time. You're dumped off there and it's pitch dark and it's 4 a.m. or whatever craziness it is. So you're trying to pass the time and everything. So my son had given me a book, The History of Beer in Tampa. Because I went to college in Tampa. He's going to my alma mater. So I'm like, you know, that's really cool. So I'm like, I'm reading the book by the light of my phone and stuff. And I'm in the blind and it's just laying low. So my mind is just taken so far away. And I'm reading all these stories about Ybor City and Tampa and the beer and Anheuser-Busch coming to Tampa and building Busch Gardens. And it's just the cool stuff of all these beer companies, the startups back in the 30s and 20s and 30s and in Tampa. So that's where my mind was. And then all of a sudden, I'm just ripped into focus that, hey, I'm not here to read about beer. I'm here to hunt.
And that's a good move, though. Yeah, it keeps you still.
Right. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, my God, there's all these pigs here, and I don't know what to do.
Yeah, it's because the sun comes up, and all of a sudden, things get so clear.
Well, the other thing is that here we are on this cattle ranch, and there's a lot of cattle and a lot of calves, a lot of baby cattle.
Yeah.
And so they're like, you know, do not shoot the cow.
Whatever you do, don't shoot the calf.
You know, so, you know, you're like looking. And then when the first pigs came into the feeder, they were just babies. And so I said, look at those skunks. I said, oh, my God, there's like skunks coming in here. And there were like 2 or 3 of them because they move like skunks. They kind of hop
they,
and
yeah,
stuff.
Bounce around. Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm like, Jesus, this is, look at these
so
skunks.
Cool.
And then I'm like, ooh, those aren't skunks. Those are a hell of a lot bigger than a skunk.
And tastier.
So then I realized it's like, oh, that's no skunk. That's like full-grown pigs. And they start coming in. I'm like, wow. So it was just such a cool experience.
As happy I am for you killing one the next day, I so wish you could have killed one that night. That would have been, because we had a lot going on. We had the poachers behind us. Remember all the four wheelers running behind us. We had cattle walking in.
You know, and I was like just so hyper focused on the things I shouldn't have been, like, okay, well, when I pull the trigger, I'm going to hurt Pete's ears. Yeah, because you weren't wearing earplugs.
No, but I covered, right?
No, but, I mean, we're talking, and I'm like, okay, Pete, I'm going to pull the trigger, and then, you know, you cover your ears. You know, and by the time all that time elapses, the thing has moved out of position, whatever.
No, but I was saying, don't shoot now, because he's in front of the feeder. Yeah. The last thing you want to do is shoot the feeder.
I know, and it was just the whole thing was a mess.
No, it wasn't a mess. It was awesome.
It was a hell of a
lot. We had that deer walking around. I kept telling you, put your crosshairs on that deer to get a feel for what it's like. Remember that deer was around for like 2 hours.
Yeah, and then the turkeys would walk through, and you look at those through the scope, and it's like, you know, obviously I got my finger nowhere near the trigger, but it's just so cool to see them through
it's
a scope.
So cool.
And, you know, you're just like looking through binoculars. You just see them close up. You're like, wow, that's really cool. And, you know, we did that, and those cows came walking up on us.
It's so cool.
And we were sitting in that blind, and we were full camo, and they were looking at us like they saw no movement. We didn't move at all.
Well, they look into that hut every day, and there's not two camoed things sitting
exactly.
There.
And then they're like, you're just reading their mind, like, what the hell is that?
Yeah, they're so funny.
And they just keep looking and
they were
walking
funny.
And looking and walking. And so
they're dopey.
We didn't move, and then all of a sudden they're like, ah!
And the sandhill cranes coming in, squawking and shit. That was
you came up on that pygmy rattler and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I was scared to death of rattlesnakes walking around because, you know, when I lived in Florida and you'd walk around Central Florida when all the home building started, the rattlesnakes were unbelievable.
Yeah.
And I used to come up on them on the road.
in the February, it'd be so cold. They'd be laying on the highway.
Warming up, yeah.
And I said to myself, one time I saw this huge rattlesnake. So I pulled over and I'm like, I want to get a close-up look at this thing. This is, you know, God forbid, we didn't have cell phones or anything. I wanted to take a picture of it.
Right.
But I took a picture in my mind because I didn't have a camera. So I'm like, as I'm walking up on it, I'm like, I know it's alive. I know it's just cold. And I got to keep my distance.
Gotta wonder how warm it is.
I got to stay away from it. And sure enough, I kept my distance. I slowly walked up. And then, you know, I'm like in awe of how thick this thing is. It was like 4 feet long, but it was just so fat.
Yeah.
And so I come up on it, and then all of a sudden the tail goes.
So cool.
And I'm like, oh, my God. The thing has been like so cold it can't move, but right. yet.
It's, oh, it has enough to do with the tail.
It's wagging
yeah.
his tail, letting me know that, hey, Mister.
Don't fuck with me. Yeah,
you fuck with the bull, you're gonna get the horns.
So cool. That was a great hunt. So we talked a lot about alsus alsus, which is the moose. That's mm-hmm. the Latin for moose. And believe it or not, Timo, we have a question from a listener.
Oh, great! Is it my nephew? I mean.
Nope.
Terrence from Long nope. Island?
it's Turk.
Turk?
Turk from Tempe, Arizona.
Hey, Turk.
Yeah, Turk.
Turk. How are you? Turk. Thanks for...
Yeah, thanks for reaching out, Turk.
Yeah.
I like the name, Turk. David, was it David? Rod Stewart. Young Turks. Song.
Oh, yeah.
So he hasn't hunted yet.
Turk
He's a young guy.
Does Turk know this sound?
Not yet. He's a young dude.
Sorry, Turk.
So he said,
another Peroni.
Yeah, but he questioned, Pesto, what's your favorite form of hunting? Meaning rifle, muzzle loader. And okay, here we go. It's going to be quick. I promise. Hmm. Bow hunting.
Yeah.
Bow hunting.
Challenging on so many levels.
So many levels.
You got wind, you've got rain, you've got
distance judgments.
Yeah, judgment. Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah.
And movement, like it doesn't take much when you let that arrow go for that deer to move or whatever you're shooting to move 3 inches and your good shot becomes a shit shot.
Yeah, an inch. It's not like when I shot that pig and it's like from the trigger pull to the downing is instantaneous.
Right.
It's,
yeah. Yeah.
It's the same exact time.
Right.
Boom, boom.
Yeah. Yeah. It's 1300 feet per second or whatever it is. Right.
Yeah.
So I will say my favorite form of hunting is bow hunting because of the accomplishment factor, right?
Yeah.
However, I love muzzleloader hunting late in the season because a lot of times you're in snow.
Yeah.
Tracking.
Sure.
Right? And muzzleloader, it's not like a rifle. I mean, it's like a rifle, but it's not, the efficacy isn't like a rifle. You've got a lot going against you. You've got a primer, you've got powder, you've got
one round.
Yeah. So Turk, you know what, if you want a real huge sense of accomplishment, go with the bow. That's what I like. But there's so many ways you can make hunting really interesting. I'm not shitting on rifle hunting.
No,
but there's a different level to that now with optics, like, and everything and like ballistics.
Fishing.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's all good. And the key is appreciate the hunt, appreciate not being successful, but being out there, and then appreciate the animal when don't waste an ounce of meat. So that's what I got for you, Turk.
Turk, I got some advice for you. I said, when we went down to Florida for the hog hunt, and, Woody is walking through with his bow, compound bow. And, Pete and I are walking through with the rifles. Everybody's coming up to Pete and I going, oh, you guys in a band? You guys, guitars in there and stuff?
No. Oh, in the airport.
In the airport. Everybody's coming up to Woody going, oh, you play the tuba? And are you in the marching band?
Yeah, that was funny.
The case is so bulky, it looks like an obscene oboe or some sort of musical instrument. Hilarious.
French horn.
Exactly. So we're like, oh, yes, Dave's in the symphony, and he plays the French horn. And yet Pete and I are rock stars playing guitar. And that little boy said, hey, mister, can I see your guitar?
Yeah. And the father is looking at this case, and it's like at every sticker on it that indicates that this is some sort of
Sig Sauer and Remington and
savage weaponry.
Savage weaponry.
And the father's like looking at us like,
Oh my God. I was disappointed that we didn't get as many cross-eyed looks as I thought.
Well, people were scared shitless.
You think?
Yeah, there was an awful lot of...
Oh, just, I didn't see that at all. Yeah,
I saw a lot of that, like, what the fuck? They let people with this shit going in here? And then there was a lot of idiots that were like, oh, this guy's got guitars in there.
Yeah, we're in a band. We're in the Who.
And then when we checked in at Logan in that special area, and you open the case, and there's... freaking handguns in there and ammo and rifles and everything. They're like, holy shit. I can't believe they let us into Logan with that.
No kidding.
I mean, it's so bizarre that you feel like, would somebody please send a state trooper over here to stand next to me? Because I'm nervous with my own self here. I don't want to be here with this stuff.
Well, then the gate people don't know the shit. They don't know what they're doing.
And
the set of rules are different in Boston than they were in Tampa.
The 3 days we were gone, Fort
Myers.
Yeah, the rules changed from the time we left Logan to the time we flew back. The rules had already changed.
No. Ammo goes in a separate case. Oh, yeah. No, ammo goes in the case. And that's...
You know,
TSA.
Fort Myers handled a lot better because...
No, yes, okay, go ahead.
I think that they handled it a lot better because instead of a employee of Delta Airlines checking us in...
True.
TSA checked us in. So those guys are... They're armed and they're cool and they're like, okay, what are you guys doing? Okay, well, we've been down here hunting and we're flying home. Okay, open it up. And, you know, show us your shit.
Except for the fact that when we opened it up and then they took the paperwork and then they reopen it to put the paperwork in. And then they said, oh, we're going to take these. You guys go to your gate. And they're walking my very valuable guns across some concourse. And I'm like, nice knowing you.
Yeah. Well, you know, that part was weird. I mean, but Logan, yeah, the guys like puts the TSA, the...
I got to ask somebody. Remember?
Oh, yeah. He puts the form in there and it's like, then it goes down the conveyor belt. Separate conveyor belt than where your suitcase goes.
Oh.
It goes down there
and
some bowels of Logan and some dudes looking at that in an x-ray 10 times over going, what the fuck is that?
But then we came back and they're like, they didn't tell us what, there's like a secret door.
Yeah.
And we went over to some door that looked like a secret door.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, it opens and there's my gun cases with
it's guns. Literally like a 4x4 cage that rolls up.
And
shit comes out, and you know what's funny is like the last time I was at that door was my skis came out there. here's your skis and here's your rifle.
Yeah, here's your rifle, sir.
But great trip.
No, that was great. It's all good.
So great. Best of luck for everybody, Woody, with the moose hunt.
Oh, can't
so
wait,
excited,
bro.
So jealous. I'd love to just ride shotgun with Pete just to be there for the experience. Just be in the front seat. There's no room in the front seat because he's packed so much shit. But we'd love to be there.
And oh, it's going to be
someday,
awesome.
Someday, it'll be my day.
Well, I invited you on my moose hunt.
Yes.
But I ended up, you wanted to come up Thursday, and I scored on Wednesday.
Yeah, I don't remember all the details. But
yeah,
you know,
minimal
details.
But
it'll happen again. And
I hope. Oh, God, I hope.
Yeah.
It's such an experience. And you know, I can go to Alaska and spend $30,000 and kill a moose, you know, all said and done. Or I can, you know, grab a permit in Maine somehow and, you know, spend $600 and then whatever else. But no, the buying something is different than earning something.
Yeah.
Right, you know?
Right.
So I, and no offense to my buddies who buy trips to Alaska, and I'm more than welcome to go. I can do it with them, but I don't know. I'm planning on an elk trip with Colin in 2024.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
So I'm going to start, once this trip's over, I'm going to start planning for that, and we're going to do a semi-guided bow hunt for elk in Colorado. So all good.
Awesome.
So thank you for listening, folks. We don't want to keep you any longer.
Is it Dirk? Dirk, thanks for the question.
Turk.
I thought it was Dirk Diggler.
Turk. No,
Turk. Turk.
Thanks for the question, Turk.
Thanks. Great question.
I had a quiz for you, but please, we'll save more, it for next time.
Yeah, more listeners, please. You know, don't be offended by the douche and bag and comment.
That's
laid on that one guy from Germany. So, you know, please send in your questions. We love it. Gives us more to talk about.
That's right. PestoPetePodcast@gmail.com. And check me out on Instagram. I changed my Instagram account to PestoPete24 on at PestoPete24 on Instagram. Just wanted to clean it up a little bit. So check it out. And keep an eye out for the next 3 weeks because we'll have a dead moose on that friggin' post pretty soon. I can't wait for moose backstraps. Mm.
And I can't wait to finish this Peroni.
And I'm good with my big wave. So thanks for listening, folks. Thirsty, anything to say?
Nope. Thanks, folks. Thanks for listening. And can't wait for the next podcast. It's going to be fantastic. All the stories that we're gonna share are going to be fantastic. So, hey, enjoy the fall. We've had a really brutal summer here in Eastern Mass and hot, dry, brutal. So looking forward to a fantastic fall.
Yeah, tonight's a good night for that.
Yep, it's the first time I've worn a sweatshirt in about a year.
No, it's all good. So thank you, folks. Like always, shoot straight, tight lines, and we'll catch up to you soon. Thanks.